Now, Hiran, could you play Mridanga? We're going to do a short commercial break. What? Well, then, you can both play. There's no harm, can't. And Batuk, play harmonium. Come on in. Join the party. This is a Sankirtan party. Batuk, if you could, Batuk, get the microphone near your lotus mouth and give me my note, C sharp. Please, Prabhu. A little louder. Krishna, 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 hey. Krishna, 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 hey. Krishna, 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 Rakshaman. Krishna, 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 Pahima. Rama Raghava, Rama Raghava, Rama Raghava, Rakshamam. Krishna Keshava, Krishna Keshava, Krishna Keshava, Pahimam. Rama Raghava, Rama Raghava, Rama Raghava, Rakshamam. Krishna Keshava, Krishna Keshava, Krishna Keshava, Pahimam. Rama Raghava, Rama Raghava, Rama Raghava, Rakshamam. Krishna Keshava, Krishna Keshava, Krishna Keshava, Pahimam. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. గౌర ప్రేమ నంది. Okay. So now, Maitreya told Vidura, all the priests and other members of the sacrificial assembly and all the demigods, having been defeated by the soldiers of Lord Shiva and injured by weapons like tridents and swords, approached Lord Brahma with great fear. After offering him obeisances, they began to speak in detail of all the events which had taken place. Both Lord Brahma and Vishnu had already known that such events would occur in the sacrificial arena of Daksha. And knowing beforehand, they did not go to the sacrifice. When Lord Brahma heard everything from the demigods and the members who had attended the sacrifice, he replied, "You cannot be happy in executing a sacrifice if you blaspheme a great personality and thereby offend his lotus feet. You cannot have happiness in that way. You have excluded Lord Shiva from taking part in the sacrificial results, and therefore you are all offenders at his lotus feet. Still, if you go without mental reservations and surrender unto him and fall down at his lotus feet, he will be very pleased." Maitreya then told Vidura, Lord Brahma also advised him that Lord Shiva is so powerful that by his anger, all the planets and their chief controllers can be destroyed immediately. Also, he said, Lord Shiva was especially sorry because he had recently lost his dear wife and was also very much afflicted by the unkind words of Daksha. Under the circumstances, Lord Brahma suggested, it would behoove them to go at once and beg his pardon. Lord Brahma then said that no one, not even himself, nor Indra, nor all the members assembled in the sacrificial arena, or all the sages, could know how powerful Lord Shiva is. Under the circumstances, who would dare to commit an offense at his lotus feet? After thus instructing all the demigods, the pittas, and the lords of the living entities, Lord Brahma took them with him and left for the abode of Lord Shiva, known as the Kailas Hill. So this instruction of what Brahma told the demigods, that is very important for all of us, that if we somehow or other commit an offense against a devotee, the only resolution, the only solution is to go and beg forgiveness. And the Vaishnava will always forgive the other party. We see this in the later on in the fourth canto when Prithu is dealing with Indra, and Indra does so many things to thwart Prithu's execution of 100 horse sacrifices. But when Indra comes to beg forgiveness, Prithu immediately embraces him. So, and also in the ninth canto, when Durvasa Muni tried to kill Ambarish, and the Lord sent his Sudarshan Chakra, and Durvasa Muni went to Brahma, went to Shiva, but they could not save him from the Sudarshan Chakra, which was always chasing him, just close. Even Durvasa Muni went to Vaikuntha and asked Lord Narayan, please stop this Sudarshan Chakra of yours. Lord Narayan said, I'm sorry, I can't do anything about it. You have offended my great devotee. The devotees are in my heart, and I'm in the heart of the devotees. If you want to be saved from Sudarshan Chakra, you have to go to Ambarish. If he forgives you, then my Sudarshan Chakra will cease. If not, that can't help you. Durvasa Muni flew to the lotus feet of Ambarish, who had been waiting 1 year for Durvasa Muni to return. There was a misunderstanding. So Durvasa Muni tried to kill. Durvasa Muni is a partial expansion of Lord Shiva. So he also plucked the hair from his head and created a demon to kill Ambarish. But the Sudarshan Chakra took care of him. And then the Sudarshan Chakra went after Durvasa. While all this is going on, Ambarish is staying there with folded hands for 1 year, waiting for Durvasa Muni to return. He's not even eating. He's waiting. So when Durvasa Muni comes back and falls at Ambarish's feet, what does Ambarish do? You are forgiven. No, everything's fine. This is the mark of a devotee. No grudges. He forgives. It is said, why did that individual get the position of Lord Brahma? Because of his quality of forgiveness. And over the years, in our Namahat group, we have had so many incidents, and that's what I've always said. Forgive, forget. Yes, forgive and forget. Not that, okay, he did that to me, I'm going to get my revenge one day. No. Forgive and forget. Let it go. Don't carry that grudge. Let it go. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram. The demigod saw Lord Shiva sitting under a great banyan tree, which was competent to give perfection to mystic yogis and deliver all people. As grave as eternal time, Lord Shiva appeared to have given up all anger. Lord Shiva sat there surrounded by saintly persons like Kubera, the master of the Guyakas, and the four Kumaras, who were already liberated souls. Lord Shiva was grave and saintly. The demigod saw Lord Shiva situated in his perfection as the master of the senses, master of knowledge, master of fruitive activities, and master of the path of achieving perfection. Lord Shiva seemed like the friend of the entire universe, and by virtue of his full affection for everyone, he was very auspicious. What does the word Shiva mean? It means auspicious. He was seated on a deerskin and was practicing all forms of austerity. His body was smeared with ashes, and he looked like an evening cloud. On his hair was the sign of a half moon, which was a symbolic representation. He was seated on a straw mattress and speaking to everyone present, including the great sage Narada, to whom he specifically spoke about the absolute truth. His left leg was placed on his right thigh. His left hand was placed on his left thigh. In his right hand, he held Rudraksha beads. This sitting posture is called Virasana. He sat in that Virasana posture, and his finger was in the mode of argument. All the sages and demigods, headed by Indra, offered their respectful obeisances unto Lord Shiva with folded hands. Lord Shiva was dressed in saffron garments and was absorbed in trance, thus appearing to be the foremost of all sages. Lord Shiva's lotus feet were being worshipped by both demigods and demons, but still, in spite of his exalted position, as soon as he saw that Lord Brahma was there among all the demigods, He immediately stood up and offered Lord Brahma respect by bowing down and touching his lotus feet. Just as Lord Vamanadeva offered his respectful obeisances to Kashyapa Muni, because in the Vamana avatar, Kashyapa acts as his father. So Vamanadeva also showed due respect. All the sages who were sitting with Lord Shiva, such as Narada and others, also offered their respectful obeisances to Lord Brahma. After being so worshipped, Lord Brahma, smiling, began to speak to Lord Shiva. So, we have just gotten a very nice picture of how Lord Shiva was looking when the demigods, headed by Brahma, came. That this description given by Maitreya is a very nice picture. So here's what Lord Brahma says. My dear Lord Shiva, you are a shale holder of the portion of the sacrifice, and you are the giver of the result. The bad priest did not deliver your share, and therefore you destroyed everything, and the sacrifice remains unfinished. Now you can do the needful and take your rightful share. O destroyer of the sacrifice, please take your portion of the sacrifice and let it be completed by your grace. The sage Maitreya then said, O mighty armed Vidura, Lord Shiva, being thus pacified by the words of Lord Brahma, spoke as follows in answer to Lord Brahma's request. Lord Shiva said, My dear father, Brahma, I do not mind the offenses created by the demigods, because these demigods are childish and less intelligent. I do not take a serious view of their offenses, and I have punished them only in order to right them. So this is significant, that Lord Shiva did what he did, destroying the sacrifice, killing Daksha. He had to do that to put everything in rightful order. Sometimes that is necessary, and it'll be explained very shortly by Lord Shiva. He continues, Since the head of Daksha has already been burned to ashes, he will have the head of a goat, because it was a goat that was to be sacrificed. So his head is gone, right? The head was thrown into the sacrifice. The head was burnt. So, be resourceful. Okay, take the head of the goat. And that's what happened. The great sage Maitreya said, My dear Vidura, all the personalities present were very much satisfied in heart and soul upon hearing the words of Lord Shiva, who is the best among the benedictors. Then, after Bhrigu, the chief of the sages, invited Lord Shiva to come to the sacrificial arena. Thus the demigods, accompanied by the sages, Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma, all went to the place where the great sacrifice was being performed. After everything was executed exactly as directed by Lord Shiva, Daksha's body was joined to the head of the goat, which was meant to be killed in the sacrifice. When the goat's head was fixed on the body of King Daksha, Daksha was immediately brought to consciousness, and as he awakened from sleep, he saw Lord Shiva standing before him. So this is amazing. He was killed. They put the goat's head on him. He comes back to life. Pretty good. If a doctor could do that now, he'd be a trillionaire. The king saw Lord Shiva standing before him. At that time, when Daksha saw Lord Shiva, who rides upon what? What's Lord Shiva's carrier? A bull. His heart, which was polluted by envy of Lord Shiva, was immediately cleansed, just as the water in a lake is cleansed by autumn rains. Daksha wanted to offer prayers to Lord Shiva, But as he remembered the ill-fated death of his daughter, Sati, his eyes filled with tears. And in bereavement, his voice choked up, and he could not say anything. At this time, King Daksha, afflicted by love and affection, was very much awakened to his real senses. With great endeavor, he pacified his mind, checked his feelings, and with pure consciousness began to offer prayers to Lord Shiva. Now this is a very nice what Daksha is about to say. King Daksha said, "My dear Lord Shiva, I committed a great offense against you, but you are so kind that instead of withdrawing your mercy, you have done me a great favor by punishing me." So, see how things have changed. He is now grateful that Lord Shiva has killed him, punished him. This is very good consciousness. This means he has been rectified because he has become completely remorseful, contrite, humble. He's no longer the puffed up Daksha that he used to be. Now, he's a completely different person. This we should see when somebody becomes a real chanter. We should notice the change in the heart. When somebody is really sincerely chanting the holy name, you know that somebody is chanting because their whole demeanor changes. Because a real devotee, a real chanter, always presents meek and humble. I've given the example many times. When a tree is overladen with fruits and flowers, the branches bend down. When a tree has no fruits and flowers, the branches are tall. So if somebody is always standing proud and tall, no good qualities. But if somebody is always meek and humble, you know, oh, this person is carrying so many fruits of love of Godhead. Maybe I can get one from this person. Don't waste your time with the big, big, proud, puffed up. You're not going to get anything. Keep that in mind. You, Lord Shiva and Lord Vishnu, never neglect even useless, unqualified Brahmins. Why then should you neglect me, who am engaged in performing sacrifices? My dear, great, and powerful Lord Shiva, you were created from Lord Brahma in order to protect the Brahmins in pursuing education, austerities, vows, and self-realization. So this is what a Brahmin is supposed to pursue. Education. Just like Kamlesh always preaches this point that we must develop transcendental knowledge. Don't you always? Yes. This is the mark of a Brahmin. A Brahmin is always trying to improve his knowledge of the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. Not that, oh, I know everything already. No. A real Brahmin wants to increase his stock of knowledge. Austerities. Prabhupada used to say, austerity is the wealth of a Brahmin. How does a Brahmin become wealthy? By performing austerities. Vows. Brahmana takes vows. And what's the ultimate goal of a real Brahmin? Self-realization. As protector of the Brahmins, you always protect the regulative principles they follow. Just as a cowherd boy keeps a stick in his hand to give protection to the cows. I did not know your full glories, and for this reason I threw arrows of sharp words at you in the open assembly. So this is called confession. He's confessing his sin. He's acknowledging what he did was wrong. this is very good that I have to acknowledge, yes, I did this, it was wrong. This is very good for making spiritual advancement. Although you did not take them into account, I was going down to hell because of my disobedience to you, who are the most respectable personality. But you took compassion upon me and saved me by awarding punishment. I request that you be pleased by your own mercy, since I cannot satisfy you by my words. So this is very, very good how Daksha has completely submitted, surrendered. And this statements of Daksha, Prabhupada later on in the seventh canto says that we should offer prayers to the holy name. We sometimes think, or you might think, that the holy name is just a sound vibration. No. The holy name of Krishna is a person. Nama Prabhu. It's a person. So, Lord Prabhupada uses these statements of Daksha and says, we should beg forgiveness of the holy name and offer prayers to the holy name. Please forgive me. I have committed offenses at your lotus feet. Nama Prabhu. And what's the best thing you can do for the holy name? Preaching. The holy name becomes very much pleased when you preach. So if you want to improve, increase, preach. Preach, preach. To whoever you meet, to whoever you see, tell them something about Krishna. Even if it's just Hari Bol. I'll tell you what I do. Where I live in the apartment complex, there's all these groundskeepers. So there's this one groundskeeper, Alfredo. You can take a guess where he comes from. But he's a very nice guy. So one day, he came to me and he said, I hurt my finger. And he seen me dressed as a devotee. So I took his finger and I chanted, Hare Krishna, Hare. I held his finger, I chanted. 2 days later, he came to me. It worked. It worked. So now, if I'm driving and I see him, I stop the car, I say, come on. And I touch his head and I say, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And he stands there very reverentially. And if his back hurts, or he lets me chant Hare Krishna on him. Very good. Very good. Very respectful. That's the beginning of his Krishna consciousness. That he can show some respect to the devotees. So you can preach in any circumstance, no matter what you're doing. Where there's a will, there's a way. As I've told you many times, just say Hari Bol. Instead of saying hello, say Hari Bol. Get the name out there. Preach. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. The great sage Maitreya said, thus being pardoned by Lord Shiva, King Daksha, with the permission of Lord Brahma, again began the performance of the yajna, along with the great learned sages, priests, and others. Thereafter, in order to resume the activities of the sacrifice, the brahmanas first arranged to purify the sacrificial arena of the contamination caused by the touch of Virabhadra and the ghostly followers of Lord Shiva. Yes, they came and they did all kinds of nasty things at the sacrifice, things I don't want to mention. But the Bhagavatam describes what the followers of Lord Shiva did to the sacrificial arena. Totally made it, they just decimated it and made it so contaminated. So first they had to clean up the mess. Then they arranged to offer into the fire the oblations known as Purudash. My dear Vidura, as soon as King Daksha offered the clarified butter, what do we call clarified butter? Ghee. With Yajur Vedic mantras in sanctified meditation, Lord Vishnu appeared there in his original form as Narayan. Everyone say. So this was the real thing back then. That if the sacrifice was done properly, Lord Vishnu would come and accept the offerings. Huh? So look, it came from total devastation, but because they went to Brahma, they followed Brahma's advice, Shiva forgave everyone, now Vishnu is pleased. He's pleased because everyone has gotten now the right mentality. Mentality is everything. If you have the proper mentality, you can do anything. So that's why, what is Lord Chaitanya's first instruction? Cheto Darpana. Meaning, get your consciousness in order. That's why the first thing you should do in the morning is chant, because your mind is going to become very, very wicked very quickly. So get it under control immediately when you get up in the morning. First thing you should be doing, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Get that mind cleansed. Get that mind under control. Lord Shiva said, my dear Lord, so he's praying to Lord Narayan now. My dear Lord, my mind and consciousness are always fixed on your lotus feet. Vaishnavanam yata shambhu. This is why Lord Shiva is the best. But look what he says. He's not saying this puffed up. No, he's just saying, this is the truth. My Lord, do you think Shiva could tell a lie in front of Narayan and get away with it? No. So he's saying this because it's the honest to God's truth. And God is right there in front of him. You can't tell a lie in front of Narayan. Right? Not possible. So when he says to Lord Narayan, I'm always thinking of you, that's just the plain honest truth. Your lotus feet are the source of all benediction and the fulfillment of all desires and are worshipped by all liberated great sages, because your lotus feet are worthy of worship. With my mind fixed on your lotus feet, I am no longer disturbed by persons who blaspheme me, claiming that my activities are unpurified. Because where does Lord Shiva reside many times? In the crematorium. His body is always, we saw, what's his body covered with? Ashes, right? He has matted locks of hair. Huh? He's not looking. That was one of the things Daksha didn't like. Daksha was pukka pukka, aristocratic. He resented the fact that his son-in-law always covered in ashes, hanging out in the crematorium. What kind of son-in-law is this? He was thinking of, he wanted some prestigious. But because Daksha was on the bodily platform, that was his big problem. Seeing Shiva, if you see Shiva on the bodily platform, you're making a big mistake. Because externally, yes, he's not the kind of, even earlier, Kashyapa Muni is saying, he has what is called devilish features, but this is all a show. Is Lord Shiva a devil? No, he's the greatest devotee. But if you just see things externally, you may think that. That's why you don't see Lord Shiva from the bodily concept of life. You see him all. He is the greatest devotee of Lord Vishnu. I am no longer disturbed by persons who blaspheme me, Not so easy. Not so easy that somebody is like, oh, Narantar, you're this. And you're just going to say, oh, thank you very much. Not so easy. Not very easy to do. I do not mind their accusations, and I excuse them out of compassion. Just see how elevated is Lord Shiva. He excuses